What is going on, everybody? Bruce here, Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. That's what you're listening to right now. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host today. Like always, we're going to talk about pizza marketing. My friend Rev and Eric are live at the Pizza Expo, and that's what today's podcast is about. They're reporting live, giving us a little glimpse as to what this year's Pizza Expo looks like. As you may know, I made the decision a few weeks back to skip this year's Pizza Expo. And I think since starting to do this podcast, I've gone every single year, other than obviously 2020, when the show did not happen, or the Pizza and Pasta Expo didn't happen. But every year since I started this podcast, I've been going to the Pizza Expo in Las Vegas and the one in Atlantic City since they started that back up. And I enjoy my time going there. I don't love Vegas. It's not my favorite city in the world. I don't gamble. I don't drink. I don't love hanging out at the casinos. But I do enjoy seeing the people who listen to the podcast and have been guests on the podcast and all the new items that are available to the pizza community, whether that be marketing materials, products, services, dough machines, whatever it is, the competition, I love it all. But this year, with all the uncertainty in the world, the way that the expo kept getting pushed back and back and back, I just didn't want to go. And I have Eric and Rev joining me on the podcast to kind of give us a glimpse as to what it looks like this year. Is it the same kind of show it always is? Is it a scaled back version? Did I make the right decision of skipping? Did you make the right decision if you skipped? And by talking to them, you'll see that I think we made the right decision. Yes, I missed out on some great sessions and meeting all the people who have been on the podcast and some of you who did go to the show, but it seems like a lot of the people who actually made it to the show this year are from the West Coast and it's easy for them to get there. I think we made the right call, but I'm looking forward to getting back, whether that be the Pizza and Pasta Expo, which is in kind of my neck of the woods in Atlantic City, or next year's Pizza Expo. Hopefully it's back to its normal schedule. We get back to normal times and everybody's traveling and everybody's able to go, and I can't wait to get back there next year. So that's what this podcast is about. We do talk a lot about the sessions. We give some marketing tips. We talk about some new products and new services that Rev and Eric have noticed on the show floor that is going to help you out. And we also talk about, like, what does the expo need to do to make it better? What does it need to do to improve the show? What does it need to do to freshen up the voices that we always hear from the Pizza Expo? We discuss that as well. But before we do that, I have to say thank you to some folks who support this podcast and make this show possible for you. All right, let's talk about Baccio cheese for a second. This cheese, I love. They sent me some samples. I checked them out, cooked them with my uni oven, reheated them later. The cheese has an amazing flavor. It's got really good melt when you cook it in the oven. When you reheat it, it has a really good flavor profile when you reheat that. And listen, I know what you're saying. Bruce, they're paying you to say that. In all transparency, they are paying me to say that. But the reason they're paying me to say that is because I tried the product and I really enjoy it. The other cool thing about Baccio is they have a rewards program where you can earn cash back for every pound of cheese you use. The cash back is mailed back to you in the form of a Visa card in which you can use however you want. You want to put that money back into your business? Fantastic. You want to give your staff a staff meal from a different restaurant? Great, you can use it for that. You want to take your family out? You can do that as well. The more you buy, the more you earn. And you're going to be selling a lot more pizza because your pizza is going to taste amazing using Baccio cheese. All right, so enough from me. If you are interested in checking out Baccio cheese, you can go to smartpizzamarketing.com/Baccio, or you can go simply to their own website, Baccio cheese, BACIOcheese.com/SPM. And if you really want to check out the product, head over to my Instagram or Baccio Cheese Instagram because they post a lot of photos, and so do I, using the Baccio Cheese product. Don't wait. Head over there today and get signed up and let them know you heard about them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. If you're looking for consistent quality and superior fresh tomato flavor, check out Stanislaus Food Products. Real Italian values guide this family-owned company. Values like work hard, never cut corners, always do your best, and keep your word. They know consistent flavor and quality is crucial to great food. That's why they work so hard to provide you with the freshest tomato flavor can after can. You can follow them on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes for weekly business building ideas from other successful pizzerias. And I have to say, over the past few months, I've been using Stanislaus products in my pizzas that you see over on Instagram that I'm making at home. And I'm very happy with the results. I love this food product. And I'm very picky about who we suggest you use here on the podcast. So if you hear them on the podcast, you know I endorse them. I use them. I enjoy them. So if you're listening to this, go check them out on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes. You will not regret it. Excellent. Thank you so much to Baccio and Stanislaus for supporting the podcast. Go check them out. If you're listening to this podcast, much appreciated, Aaron. Before I let you go into the episode of the show, I just have to say, make sure you go over to smartpizzamarketing.com. That's where we take all the show notes and all the things that we mentioned on this podcast episode, and sign up for our weekly email. Promise you, no spam. I just share some links of interesting articles that we find. We share some podcast episodes, some YouTube episodes. I pretty much share whatever I think we see during the week that you should have on your radar, whether that be a link about marketing or food related or pizza related or something funny, all inside that weekly email. I promise you, no spam. Go check it out, smartpizzamarketing.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Rev and Eric joining me live from Pizza Expo 2021. What's going on, fellas?
Yes. Man, we're just getting set up. There's a lot of energy here. Seems like a smaller group, but a few less vendors, but the energy level is high. Bruce, I think a lot of people are excited to be back here. We haven't been here in 2 years. So definitely a good crowd. Fun crowd, seems like.
That's cool. Is today the first official day of the expo show floor?
Yeah, it is. Just opened a couple hours ago. We attended and sponsored Tony's pre-party at Pizza Rock the other night. Huge crowd at that. We were at Slice Out Hunger last night at Good Pie. Great crowd there. Two separate. They had so many. They had to split it into two groups. Had a good group there last night. Everybody wearing masks, and but like I said, energy level. I just keep thinking about that because I think everybody's excited because they haven't been around each other in so long.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Well, it's been a year and a half since we did be able to do the last Pizza Expo in Vegas, which was the last one, March 2020. Was it 2019? Right.
2019. We were at the Northeast Pizza Pasta Show. That was the last show. Really.
Wow. I saw some people's Instagram. My gosh, Scott Wiener. I was kind of messaging back and forth on Instagram. I was looking at some of his videos, and it does seem like there's a lot more space available there than years past. I remember kind of being in the, you know, it being packed and a lot of people in the hall, in the walkways, and it really being a little bit crowded. But it seemed this year, at least from the videos from the outside looking in, there's a lot more space available in elbow room, which may feel nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually does feel kind of good. I will tell you, the kind of the back end where you've got some of the competition going on, it's a little lighter back there.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of the mindset with some of these vendors could be, you know, smaller group of attendees, but you can have better conversations.
Definitely.
And I hope that happens. I think that will happen.
So it just opened up. It's only been open for, two or three hours now?
Yeah, a couple hours. Competition started early. The competition list is a little light, too, but you know, you don't have the Italians here.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of Canadians here that got in, but past that, it's pretty much just, you know, the United States people.
What? So as far as your expectations go, obviously we're in a weird time right now, and there's always like, you know, nobody really knew what to expect from the show. What are you feeling? Is it what you expected? Is it more people than you expected? Is it less? What does it feel like?
I mean, from my...
Oh, I lost you, Rev.
You now?
Yeah, you're back.
I've been to Pizza and Pasta Northeast, so my expectation is based off that. I've not been to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people that are here are excited.
Yeah.
Like, people are excited to be here. Everybody's got a mask on. And, you know, I think they said they had 6,000 tickets sold. So it certainly dwarfs in comparison to what I think this has done in the past. But
yeah.
People are happy to be here.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's it like in Vegas?
Hot.
Yeah, definitely hot.
It's hot. I mean, it was, I joked the other night, we left Pizza Rock on Sunday night, and Lloyd Oshiro and I got in the cab, and I said, dude, it's 10:45 and it's still 101 degrees outside.
You always hear
but
people,
it's dry heat.
Yeah, I was going to say, you always hear people say it's a different kind of heat. Does it feel different or is it still hot?
No, it's still hot, man. It's still hot. But
it's insane. I've been in a car the last couple of days around like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the heat coming down from the sun and you're on the highway, it's like, I don't know why they don't just shut down Vegas from like 2 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, just every day. Everyone just take a nap. Yeah, just take a nap. But no, it's like I said, you can feel the energy here, even though there is probably less people and there's less vendors. And I think, you know, quite a few conversations over the last couple of days. People in Vegas are excited to see the industry come back because they know it means dollars to them. And it's hotel stays and it's people going out to eat. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next, you know, I guess maybe month, maybe with this Delta variant, what happens. But I just can't see another shutdown. Can you? I mean, I think people will lose their mind if that happens.
I hope not.
Yeah, no doubt.
Something will happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but like I said, there are people at the show. I've walked the floor two or three times, and it's a lot of the people I expect to see here. There's definitely a lot of the people I would expect to see that aren't here.
Yeah.
But had you never been here before, like me.
Yeah, when you don't know the difference, you don't know the difference.
Right? Rev, you've never been to the Pizza Expo in Las Vegas?
This is my first one.
Really?
Yeah, I was supposed to go the last time it actually happened, and I was still recovering from my accident, and I made a choice that it wasn't the right idea for me to be on my on a broken ankle for 3 days.
Yeah, so usually the Vegas one is easily 2 to 4 times feeling larger than the one in Pizza and Pasta Expo compared to each other. So, I mean, Eric, you've been to the both of the shows. So does it have more of the Pizza and Pasta vibe than it did at Expo of past?
Yeah, it's definitely got a little smaller vibe. I mean, you, like I said, you've been here enough. I mean, there are parts of the outlying areas of the show that are pretty sparse, but like I said, smaller crew, I mean, you know, smaller attendance, maybe that means better conversations and versus, you know, being able to just say hi and keep moving on. But like I said, there's a lot of energy here. I keep saying that because that's Lloyd and I were talking about that earlier. Just you can feel the energy in the place because people are excited to be here.
Have you guys walked the show floor at all?
Yeah. I was gonna say we're sitting here talking to you live in the marquee booth. I mean, you can see them walking behind us. We're actually facing their booth. But there's 9 people in this booth. Like, people are here and talking, and the marquee guys told me they've already made 2 sales.
Wow.
So the people that are coming here are interested in learning, buying, advancing their business, whatever. Like, to me, it's a smaller crowd, business is normal.
Right.
Anything new from this year's show that you've noticed so far?
You know what? I've walked the whole show. Nothing jumped out at me.
Yeah.
I will tell you, the one thing that's jumped out at me is you've got Hormel over there showing plant-based pepperoni and plant-based toppings. And I tried some. It was pretty good.
Was it?
It was actually Burke, which is here, is owned by Hormel, and they're doing a plant-based, like, beef topping, sausage topping. And I tried it, and you know what? It was really good. So, hey, there's always something new and cool to see. I never thought I'd try plant-based pepperoni, but it was pretty tasty.
I have a couple of vegans in my house, so I don't know if I've ever tried plant-based pepperoni, but they definitely try to force me on that vegan shit all the time, and I try to stay away from it as much as I can.
Well, I had to try it, you know, and so, but like I said, they said, well, it's okay. I'm like, I thought it was really good. It tasted like pretty good pizza.
I say that teasingly because I know I have a lot of vegan friends out there, and like I said, there's a couple that live in my house, and it's just like something that they always push on me. I'm sure they're going to convert me to one of these days to trying a lot of those vegan foods, but I'm not ready to go there yet.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, we're sitting at the marquee booth, and not to overly talk about them, but what these guys do is really cool. And, you know, we had a moment the other day talking about going to Good Pie and seeing Vince Rotolo on Monday. And we looked it up on Google, and on Google it said he was open. Turns out he's closed. He let us in. But there's a perfect example of something that, in the world we live in, a service like Marquee, you know, let me back up. You used to come to Pizza Expo and you'd see so much equipment. And now this stuff is almost more important than buying a mixer because this tells your customer whether you're open or not. It's pretty damn important.
Interesting. So, did you get to go into Vincent's place?
Yeah. We actually went there twice yesterday. So we went over to bring over Vince some. We made him a pizza peel. Just wanted to say hi to him and thank him for his business. And so he was making some pizza. And so we sat down and ate. And we hung out. Mike from Mike's Hot Honey was there, and we talked to him for a while. And then Darren Izzo came by from Izzo Pepperoni, Izzo Sausage. And then we went back last night for Slice Out Hunger. And it was just a great event. And And Vince's new location is just, it's gorgeous. Just a gorgeous spot. So a lot of fun yesterday.
Last time I was there, I saw his old spot, which was tiny and kind of like a, almost like a, in the, it's hard to find if you didn't really know where it was or spend some time looking at it, because it was like kind of in the back. It was like this little tiny shop, almost like in, kind of, I don't want to say a strip mall, but it was kind of look strip mall-ish, his old spot.
Yeah, he did. He closed it. I guess it's reopened as another pizza place. And I asked him yesterday, I said, how are they doing? He said, oh, it's shit. That was his exact words. So it's, he said, they're not trying very hard to do good pizza. So it was pretty funny.
Wow. Especially like being in, they should be at the expo. I mean, if you're looking to do good pizza, there's all kinds of people there doing great pizza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had, we had some pizza from John Arena last night. Chris Decker was out there, had pizza. You know, they have, this, the Uni generation's really, you know, coming into its own. And so at Pizza Rock Monday night, you had Chris Decker, you had Kaylee Gardner, aka the Pizza Slut. You know, they were out, you know, making pizza on the Uni ovens out front, and just killed it. I mean, just absolutely killed it. That industry is, you know, it's, it took off during COVID because people could stay home and make pizza at home. But it's, those people are out making money, making a living doing that now.
That's fantastic, though. It's a great opportunity for them because those ovens, like the Unis or the Gosney ovens, they're so relatively inexpensive compared to what you'd have to use 5 or 10 years ago to get started, something like that.
I was at Evil Pie the other day, which, by the way, is a really cool spot. For those of you that don't know, it's an Evil Knievel themed pizza joint.
Very cool.
It's really cool. But there was two dudes sitting at the bar just eating pizza, and they were talking and like they knew something about pizza. So I said, are you guys here for Expo? And they were like, no, we just love pizza, but we're going.
That's cool.
And the reason I bring it up is I don't know if there's any other conventions in the world that are, you know, B2B business conventions that people who are just fans show up. Yeah.
Well, Rev, you're into burgers, right? So is there any, like, burger conventions?
No, actually not. There should be.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are into burgers. Like, if you look through Instagram, burgers is just as popular as pizza. I'm surprised there's no burger convention.
I mean, I'm speaking to the converted already here, but I, you know, pizza is like a family or a cult. It's like it is different.
Definitely. People look at you weird, though, when you're like, because if people don't know and you're like, yeah, I'm going to a pizza expo, they're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah, they think like you're crazy. Yeah. What are you doing?
What kind of nerdy stuff is that?
I've had 57 slices of pizza over the last 3 days, and my friends on Facebook are like, dude, will you stop? I'm like, I'm a pizza expert.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna gain 15 pounds in 4 days. So
let me ask you this, because this is kind of one of the reasons I didn't go is, you know, obviously we're in a weird time and there's a lot of people around, and you know, the masks thing and people being uncomfortable with being so close to other people. Is it with Pizza and Pasta Expo coming up in a couple months now, right? They're not that far apart here in the Northeast. A lot of people from the Northeast probably didn't go to Vegas because of all of that. Is it, do you feel uncomfortable at all being there eating around other people, or is it kind of like, we're okay, it's normal?
I mean, it kind of is what it is. You know what I mean? And I've had a number of conversations where people are like, well, I'm vaccinated, so it's weird. There's definitely like the, do I shake your hand?
Yeah.
Do I fist bump you? Are we hugging?
Touch elbows. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Well, you know, the interesting part to me, Bruce, is like you look at any restaurant right now and it can be jam packed, and you walk in, you wear your mask to the bar. As an example, we were at a bar the other night. You walk in, you wear your mask to the bar, you take your mask off, and you're still standing there talking with all these people. Like it's, I don't know. It's such a weird vibe. I don't get a feel out here that people are inconvenienced by it. I think it's starting to become more and more just kind of a way of life. Like, hey, got to wear a mask, and you're going to have a few people that don't like it. And oh, well, don't go out.
True.
It is like, what it is.
To me, it's more about like the being super close. Like, I don't give a shit about wearing a mask. I'll wear a mask wherever they tell me to wear a mask. Like, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Right. You know, I actually prefer everybody wear a mask, because you know what? Sometimes there's a lot of gross people out there that probably should wear a mask all the time, whether there's a pandemic or not. And I realized that in the last 16 months, I never got a cold or anything from anybody because everybody's kind of masked up, and it was like the best time of my life. So I'm all for wearing masks, and I don't care. So that's not why. But like, I do have hesitation around being around a whole lot of people like that.
Yeah. What's the vibe up in Boston? Is it about the same? Is it just almost just become business as usual, wear a mask and move on with your life.
So there was no masks were required if you were, I mean, required is like a thing because they can't really, they don't ask you if you're vaccinated, but if you don't, if you have a vaccination, right, and you don't have to wear a mask. They're starting to come back though. I don't know what's, but like Salem, which is a couple towns over from me, is requiring masks for indoor, anywhere indoor, starting in a couple next week or the week after again. So I feel like it's going to come back to, if you're inside, especially here in the Northeast where it gets cold and everybody kind of hunkers down in the fall and winter, I feel like it's going to get back to, I don't think everything will close, but I think you're going to have to go back to the whole mass indoor things over the winter just to kind of keep the numbers lower. What, so have you guys gone to any seminars yet, or who's speaking that? Are there any new speakers speaking this year? Like anything new? I feel like we always see the same old, and nothing against the same old speakers that are speaking because I'm friendly with a lot of them. Are there any new people speaking this year?
The two of us.
Excellent.
Well, we're speaking tomorrow on behalf of Marquee with Scott Wiener. But Lloyd and I attended a couple yesterday. And, you know, I tell you one I thought was kind of interesting. Scott Anthony of Punxsie's Pizza did a seminar and talking about old school marketing. And sometimes we get so dialed into, we've got to be great at Facebook, and we've got to be great at Instagram. And while I think that stuff's important, you know, one of the things Scott talked about yesterday was he just mailed out a 5x8 kind of plastic wax card, and he put the Steelers schedule on it, and he put a spot on it where it literally said, put your magnet here. So you could rip it apart. You could put your magnet on, and he had the stat. The average refrigerator has 7 magnets on it. So he said, I'm not putting the magnet, the thing I'm mailing to your house. You use your own magnet at home. And it literally said, put your magnet here, had the Steelers preseason schedule and the regular season schedule. The other half that ripped off was a couple of coupons. And you know what? He said, look, it still works. That stuff still works. As long as it, and he did talk about marriage mail that comes out on Wednesday and that hits the trash. And but there's still stuff, I think.
Wait, what's that? What is marriage mail?
That's the one you get in the mail that's got the packet with not the envelope, but it's got everything in it, the Walmart ad, ad, and this Little Caesars ad. Yeah, that one that you just throw right in the trash. But, you know, but he talked
about Valpak?
No, not Valpak.
Okay.
It's, well,
I know what you're talking about. It's like a flyer. It's almost like a mini newspaper, but it's all flyers, right?
Yeah, it's all junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. but he, you know, he talked about yesterday, you know, and I believe this is true, is he talked about, you know, look, old school, you might see there's a soccer tournament, you know, 2 blocks from your shop, and there's 500 cars there, and you might go out and put a menu on every card and get 10 people in, and you know what, that still works, but we seem to forget that stuff sometimes, but it still works.
Yeah, so it's just, people don't want to put in an effort. I think the difference between Instagram,
right,
and Facebook and social media is I could do that with my fly open on the couch. Right?
Yeah.
Like if I go hand out flyers on people's car with my fly open, it's going to be, the cops are going to be called.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be on TikTok doing that.
Right? I'll go viral. But,
yeah, you will. See? Yeah. See, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go viral for that, but maybe that we'll test
that.
But I think it's like laziness and complacency. Like, yeah, I agree old school marketing works, but it's a lot more work than it is in the digital age.
Right.
Getting back to your questions about speakers, one of the things that, you know, I probably have similar opinions to other people is that, like, there's like a club, certain people that speak at this event and the other events, and they kind of speak about the same thing every time, and it feels stale. But going through the agenda, there are things on there that I haven't seen before from one of these, like, somebody's doing I can't remember what it was, but they're doing a talk on third-party delivery. I've not really seen,
which wasn't happening here 5 years ago, probably. You know,
definitely.
So it's a good point. It's a good point.
Who was it? Who's speaking on that? Give him a shout out.
I can't remember. You'd have to go look. But the thing is like, I do think it's a lot of the same people, but the topics do actually feel a little updated to me.
Yeah. Listen, I know how it works. You know, there's a certain segment of the World Pizza Champions who kind of dictate who speaks and who don't, and, you know, it's a lot of those people who are involved with that, which is fine. But I like that you said that they are coming up with new topics, because I don't know if this, think of a speaker's good, it doesn't really matter. Like, have them back many times if they're charismatic and they can get the point across and really, you know, speak well and are entertaining. Because if you're a speaker, you got to be a little bit entertaining too. It's not just like giving out information like a teacher. You got to have people learn and be excited about learning. But if the topics are interesting, I mean, that's good. At least they're changing the topics up if they're not changing the speakers up.
Yeah, I just think you could still go to a session on how to make Detroit-style pie, but that's here.
Right,
but
yeah.
It does feel like there are some updated topics.
Right. I will tell you, one of the interesting things to me this morning was Anthony Falco was the keynote this morning, and I didn't get over there to it, but I saw him speak yesterday with Last Dragon Pizza, Nicole Russell. And, you know, interesting guy, and, you know, so curious to see how he did this morning. I'm sure somebody recorded it and go back and watch it. And then my guy, one of my best friends, Mikey Bausch, is doing a keynote tomorrow morning, so we'll be at that. He's actually doing eight seminars, eight demos over the next 3-4 days.
Jesus.
So, yeah, he's a busy guy, but he loves it. A lot of passion comes out of him when he does that stuff.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast. He's a good speaker. He's like passionate into it and delivers well.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Rev's over here while you're talking, looking up the list. Did you find it?
No, it's funny. We paid $80 for the internet
and it's awful.
Barely works.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't the internet?
Thank you, Pizza Expo.
Is it always paid internet or is that something new this year?
I find that these things, that's always the way it works. Like, it's not like $10 for the day. It's, they stab you. But we wanted to talk to you. So that was worth it.
Yeah, you're worth the $80. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about doing this podcast and you guys were like, hey, should we promote it beforehand? And I was like, no, we're not live streaming it because I know how these things work. Like, when you do a remote podcast, there's going to be 47 technical issues you have before the thing starts. And then the internet's not going to be great. Your camera's going to fall down. Someone's going to walk behind you with their pants unzipped, and it's just going to be weird.
Exactly.
Is that him?
Pants unzipped. Yeah. Right there. There he was. Yeah, he's TikTok famous right now.
I just took a screenshot of that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be interested to watch over the next year or two is when this event comes back again in March of next year. You had so many vendors, large and small, that have backed out. Is it going to change the way that these guys expo, you know? And for us at Perfect Crust, you know, we opted, I told you a couple months ago, we opted to not do a booth for this event, and we're doing expo different. We sponsored Tony's pre-party. We sponsored Slice Out Hunger last night. We're doing a couple of dinners. We've got dinners with the World Pizza Champions on Wednesday night, and just kind of, like I said, expoing a little different. And, you know, is that going to happen for some of these vendors? Because I guarantee you, some of these large vendors that pulled out, like a PFG or a Cisco or a US Foods that are distributors, I don't think they ever walk away from this event. I know we didn't in my previous life. You don't walk away from this and go, oh my Lord, we picked up 1,000 new customers. It's really about just being seen and seeing your customers that are here. And so that's going to be the interesting part to me, is to see, you know, what the fallout or the ramifications are from this over the next couple of years, if people change the way they come to this event.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, one of the reasons why I didn't go this year was one of our sponsors for the podcast, Forts of Forney. I don't think they're there, but I know that he told me that they weren't having a booth this year. And that's usually where, like, usually I'd be right there. We'd be probably conducting this interview live. I know Rev and I have done one live at the Pizza and Pasta Expo in years past. But that's one of the reasons why I decided not to go. It's, you know, it's a far hike for us in Boston. The weather is nice 3 weeks a year here in Boston, and this just happens to be one of those weeks. And a lot of people that I knew just weren't going. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just have a pass this year myself. So I'm interested August, to see how that works in the future, too.
Yeah, August also not the best time to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
108 degrees. And the funniest thing is, like, I'm in Ubers. And they're like, oh, 108, that's not bad. It was 120 a week ago. And jeez. I'm like, that all sounds terrible.
Yeah.
There's like two weeks a year you'll choose Boston over Vegas, and like this just happens to be one of them.
Well, I think we talked offline about it. I think the attendance could be affected by, it is 1,000 degrees here, and it is back to school and COVID and just a lot of stuff. But like I said, so far today, I mean, we're going on, about 4 hours of this place being open? And still a lot of people running around, and people seem excited, and everybody's masked up. And so I'll be curious to see what Thursday looks like. But Thursday could be just ghost town around here.
Yeah, I mean, even on regular years, Thursdays was always kind of ghost town.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be really ugly, I think. So we'll see.
So what is what is the plan for Perfect Crust in the future? Like, do you guys have a booth at Pizza and Pasta, or are you guys going to have a booth there next year, or do you have decided yet?
No, we're definitely not doing Pizza and Pasta. We're going to attend and we'll be there, but we're not going to do a booth for that event. But we're committed. Actually, what we talked about doing next year for Expo was we had a great conversation with Vince Rotolo and talked about doing a Perfect Crust Monday night event over at his place and renting his place out and doing maybe just like I said, doing Expo different and doing our booth half the size we do. But renting out and having a Perfect Crust, you know, happy hour from like 5 to 7 or 5 to 8. So like I said, I think we're always trying to look at how we can do things a little different and be different and challenge the way we think and not do the standard. I mean, there's just, we live in a different world, and some of these vendors, nothing against these vendors, but some of these people are doing things exactly the way they did them at the same booth 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and you've got to change. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like for us, but I think we're going to do something different.
What about you, Rev?
Well, I don't have a booth, and I don't plan to have a booth. But I will go to any conference. I like meeting people face-to-face. I like the connections that you make. And, you know, we were at this Pizza Rock event the other night, and it was like, I had a moment where I was talking, and I was like, oh, my God. I feel like I know all you people, but this is the first time we've stood in front of each other.
Well, it was the first time we met.
It was the first time Eric and I have been around. But, you know, I love doing these things. You build connections, you know?
Yeah. I have to tell you, Bruce, the highlight of my week so far was Rev at Pizza Rock. He goes, hey, who's the guy walking around in the gray chef coat? I'm like, that's Tony Gemignani.
Nice. You didn't know who he was?
He never met him. He's just like, you know, Tony's running around. He's sweaty. He's working. He's, you know, directing traffic. And I'm like, that's this guy whose name is on the place.
Right? That's pretty hilarious.
It was
pretty
good
hilarious
stuff, though.
You know, I
will tell you it was a
– Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I looked up and I saw who's doing the third party talking. It's Mike Bausch.
And he does a great job.
He's a heavy advocate for – he'd be a great debate for you, Rev, because he's a heavy advocate of third party delivery.
Maybe we need to have a fight.
Well, he, you know, I live there in town. I actually bought some pizza from him a couple weeks ago, and you go to his website. It's through DoorDash. He only uses DoorDash. He's negotiated a lower rate, and he gets a better rate if you order off of his website versus theirs. And he just looks at it and, you know, look. And you know, part of it is he's selling a $25 pie. You know, you're selling a $25 pie, you can afford to give up a little bit. You're selling a $7 pie, the margins are a lot smaller. So
if you're selling a $7 pie, turn this podcast off and punch yourself in the face.
Right, right, right. Just punch yourself in the face. But, you know, they do a great job with packaging. They do a lot of things right. I will tell you, it was the first time I ordered off his website, and the DoorDash side of it, like, I immediately got a text message. Here's who's picking up your order. Here's the link. Here's where they're at. They're on the way. It worked just seamlessly. And then after I got the order, then I got an email from Andolini's. How was your order? And then they're checking with me as well. So Mike does it. He does a good job at it, but he also doesn't have 5 tablets at his restaurant for every delivery service on the planet either. So
I think that's what Rev advocates too. I think if you talk to Mike, Rev, you'd probably understand why he does it the way he does it. It's not like your typical average pizzeria that does DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, all of them, and is just like using them as a way to get customers, but they don't negotiate anything.
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate third party. I hate how they take advantage of people.
Yeah.
And I hate that operators aren't smart enough to build a system that works for their business.
Right.
So it's always that level deeper. But Mike sounds like he figured out a way to do it the right way for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, all of his ordering platform is through Toast. And so it's, you know, it all seems like it's pretty seamless. Like the email I got that came to me immediately, I got an email from Andolini's within 2 minutes of my pizza showing up. And you can see on the bottom of the email, it comes from Toast. So it's just, you know, he's got it dialed in from that standpoint. That's why he's talking about it today.
What are you guys talking about?
Or tomorrow. You?
Yeah.
Great. Hopefully it's good.
It's me and Eric and Scott Wiener, and we're doing 3 marketing hacks. So Eric's going to get up for 6 or 7 minutes and teach people how to do one thing better with the marketing. then Scott's going to do the same thing. Then I'm going to do the same thing. And then we're putting a mic.
Scott Anthony.
Good
job yesterday. We watched your whole presentation. We were just talking.
I love that. So what's Rev? What's your hack?
My hack is about local search, right? You know, it's like we were talking earlier about GoodPie. Like if your phone number is wrong on Google, like that's a bad customer journey. So I'm going to teach people that, like what they need to do on Google and Yelp to make sure that customers can find them in search.
Rev, do me a favor. Important. Hold on a second. I'm going to ask you something in the second area. Rev, what is the customer journey? I'm a little bit slow here. I hear that all the time. I don't exactly know what it means. Can you fill me in?
Sure. So the customer journey is everything that a guest takes on their, like all the moves they make on their way to order or dine with you. So they could go on Instagram, they could go on Google, they could go on Yelp, they could go through third party. Like there's all these digital touch points that happen online before they have an offline experience, like before they place an order or come dine with you.
Okay.
And so to me, the customer journey is all the things that a guest does before, during, and after the meal, right? So like after the meal would be like leaving a review. You know, before the meal is like they went to search or maybe they saw an ad. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So when you say control the customer journey, it basically means from the content you put out to the end of the order and what happens after they order, like that whole process.
So anywhere that a customer can have an experience with your brand online, Google, Yelp, Seamless, your website, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere that your brand exists is you being in control of that experience, making sure that your information is correct, that your content has been updated, that like you're giving the guest everything they need to know to be able to visit you or place an order.
Okay, I got you now. Now I get it.
Love it.
Eric, what's your tip that you're giving out for the – getting all the secrets from you guys?
I'm going to tell –
he's got a good one.
This is pretty basic, but I'm going to tell people to listen to the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast.
I love it.
Yeah, there you go. No, actually what I'm going to talk about is I feel like the most – I feel like the biggest opportunity in social media right now, it's the biggest miss that I see. It's kind of funny, but – it's the pizza operator's individual Facebook page. And I'm going to kick off tomorrow when I talk about a story that I've got from 4 years ago. It's a Friday afternoon. It's Friday afternoon before the Super Bowl. And I tag about 8 pizzerias in Tulsa. And I say, hey, if you're going to go get pizza this weekend for the Super Bowl, go to these guys and call early and place an order. And I had a buddy of mine, and I've known him for 10 years. He sends me a message, and he's like, dude, what the hell? You didn't mention my pizza place. And I don't know how I missed him. I just did. It was just an oversight, right? But I go back and look at his personal Facebook page. The guy ain't talked about his own pizzeria in 2 years on his own personal page, but he's pissed off at me that I didn't mention him. And so part of that, I feel like, you know, a way to connect with the community. I think you talk about your family first, you talk about your community second, you talk about your business last. We connect over family. We connect over, you know, if you're talking about the football team's got a big game Friday night, go Cougars. You know, people connect over that. Talk about your business last, because quite honestly, it's probably selfish and people don't give a shit about you because you're being selfish. But if you get them with family and community, you win. But I'm just amazed at how pizza operators do a great job at their or their business Instagram or their business Facebook, but then they don't share their own shit on their own personal page.
I don't know if I
just don't take advantage of it.
I may debate that they do a great job of their business Instagram and Facebook.
Well, some do. Some do.
Yeah, some okay? do for sure.
They maybe I'll say it different. Some of they try. Yeah. At least they try, but then they don't even back it up on their own personal page. When you know as well as I do, Bruce, you've run pizza shops, you've owned restaurants. How many times do people walk in and try and big time like, I know the owner? Right? It's all the time.
Yeah.
But yet here's operators that don't take advantage of their own personal social media to connect that way so people feel like they do know them. It's such a miss.
I agree. That happens a lot, quite often.
That and listen to Smart Pizza Marketing with Bruce Irving.
Excellent. Now, here's the deal. Ask them. Here's what you got to ask the audience. Do you guys know what a podcast is? I guarantee half of them will raise their hand, and of the half will think it's a Facebook video.
Right. Good point.
Very likely.
So do you guys know what Scott's tip is? Have a great pizza box?
That would make sense. No, he's kind of like, it's like 4 simple hacks for better content. Huh. So have you ever seen his plate trick?
No.
So he'll hold up a white plate, because most pizzerias have white plates.
Yep.
And you take your iPhone and you flash the light up against the plate, and it bathes your food into white light, and it makes your photos
really pop. Yeah.
Really?
That's one.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, so he's kind of got like four like content hacks that are really easy to do.
That's fantastic. So, that's pretty good. So what time are you guys speaking about that today?
It's tomorrow at 3:30.
Tomorrow at 3:30. Where can they go? Oh, they probably already missed it. If you're listening to this podcast, you missed it. Sorry.
It was awesome. Everybody was there. There was thousands of people.
So many people. Everybody everybody got great tips. It was amazing.
Tens of thousands.
And every single person listens to podcasts, and they're all starting one.
Yep.
That is true. Everybody starts a podcast. They'll get to 10 episodes, and then they'll be like, this fucking sucks. This is a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, this is hard.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you. I know we said we'd be doing it for 30 minutes. We've been here for 45. Appreciate you guys joining me.
Floyd.
Where can people go check you out after they get off of this podcast? Because I know the Pizza Expo will be over. Where should they go?
Well, you can find me all social media platforms at the Eric Bam.
All right.
And, you know, obviously follow us at Perfect Crust Pizza Liners on Instagram and Incredible Bags on Instagram. We have a lot of fun, and we love the pizza community, man. We're just having fun. It's amazing when you have fun, you don't have to sell anything.
It's true.
So, it's true.
Rev, what about you?
Where can they find you?
Yeah, all social media platforms. I'm at Rev Ciencio, which most people can't spell.
Chancho.
So, it's, R-E-V-C-I, and then when you see the hat, click follow or message.
Rev, I have to say, I've known you for quite a long time, and I still can't spell Ciencio.
That's good. That's why I just go by Rev.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
It. All right, don't hang up, fellas, but thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out of the expo to share some insights and join me here on the podcast. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for having us.
See you, Bruce. Thanks.
Well, thanks to Rev and Eric for joining me live from Pizza Expo. Kind of sad that I wasn't there doing the podcast live, but we'll be back. I'm sure everybody will be back in March if the expo happens at the regular time. And I hope to see some new faces, some new voices, some new products, some new services. And let's get this going again, because I miss all of you. I really do miss seeing people who listen to the podcast, who have been guests on the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to getting out there next year and kind of back to the swing of things of going to the Pizza Expo every single year, doing these podcasts live from the booths of our friends who help us support the podcast. Really can't wait to get back there. If you have a question, reach out to me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. SmartPizzaMarketing.com is where we take all the show notes for you. You can get access to everything we talked about on the show. Also, sign up for our email. You can have a link to our Instagram. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do that over there. If you have a person or a business that's doing cool stuff that you think should be on the podcast, maybe that's you, go to a website, reach out to us. Let's start the conversation there. Thank you so much for tuning in. I very much appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next episode of the podcast.